Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast. We are here today to wrap up the Challenge 37 Spies, Lies, and Allies. As far as the competition goes, still have a reunion to go for that one, and then, of course, get into some All-Stars, too. So excited to get into it all, even if personally, I wasn't too enthralled with both episodes, so I'll lead right in with an opinion there. Of course, I am Matt, alongside my co-host, Brian Scally, who hopefully enjoyed the episodes a little bit more. I don't know.
Oh, I'm just hello. So happy to be here. Just an absolute powerhouse pair. Just two legends. No, I did not appreciate all of the self-aggrandizing that Devin was doing, as you may have guessed. But I wasn't as down on the All-Stars episode, I would say, probably. But yeah, I feel like it's a well-known fact that the Challenge finals are not that exciting.
Right. And I mean, just to get right on into it here, because there's not, you know, it's always fun trying to break down the final, like, what do you go, like, piece by piece, like, oh, when Tori was running past Casey, and it's like, whatever. But the final itself, like, I felt like such a hypocrite watching it, because I was like, all I talk about is how I don't need food challenges because I don't care about watching them throw up. It's disgusting. And then I was like, this final felt so weird. It was like missing something. It was so like, I don't know. It just felt like it was easy, or it felt like it was just short. It was like, this was practically a mini final to me. And I was like, wait, but like maybe they cut out things that usually I'm complaining about not wanting. I don't know. Maybe I'll just never be happy, but
that's not it. We'll get this for this final was so poorly formatted. It was broken up. Yeah, it was incredibly poorly formatted. And I don't think it's just like the different elements that they chose to include. It for me 100% comes down to that nothing mattered until they ran up and down a hill, and that was what decided $1 million.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah. You know, there is one part of the episode that, you know, of course we'll get to, and just, I mean, I already spoiled it on Twitter, that I really enjoyed was the elimination. When we get to that, the Nani and Casey, there was, I had a lot of thoughts on there. But the rest of it is just, yeah. I mean, the way that it started, it like they could have easily finished this entire final within a 24-hour time period of like when they started it the first day, you know, slept and then woke up, did, you know, quick little tasks and ran up the mountain and called it a day. So, you know, the length of it, the difficulty of it. I mean, not to discount, you know, of course I'm sitting here on my couch watching, but it's you know, I feel like as somebody who's seen 37 challenge finals or however many there actually have been in this format, not the most riveting, not the most challenging.
Yeah, I'd like, it was probably challenging, but again, what ultimately mattered was not. Like, I'm sure it was hard to run up and down that hill, but ultimately it was just running up and down a hill. Like, that's what decided $1 million. Yeah. So, while like some of like the diving and the like puzzles and everything else was like, it was fine. It was cool enough. You know, the twist of switching into cells and then, oh, now you're individual, now you're cells, now you're partners, now you're whatever. Like, fine. But ultimately 90% of what we saw didn't matter at all.
And it's also like, for me, like a lack of excitement in the sense of like the very predictable outcome on the men's side, who, you know, did not predict the CT victory here. And on the women's side, not to say that it was like also super predictable, but like, you know, it seemed like it was a two horse race between Casey and Tori. At least that's what I think what we were saying last week. And then it's like, all right, well, which one of them is going to be with CT? Nope, they're CT and Casey. Casey's got the win here. So and also just as far as, you know, Casey on the challenge goes, it's not somebody that, you know, you know, maybe we've come to appreciate more, or at least I have, as far as like seeing her with Nani, I've enjoyed watching that relationship play out, but still just not somebody that you're like, oh my God, they won a challenge. Like, I can really get into this. Like, it's just like, okay, that happened. So, you know,
I would say this episode actually did wonders for me in terms of rooting for Casey here. We will talk about the elimination as I feel like it's like one of two talking points basically. Yeah, I ultimately was coming down on like, I guess I'm happy Casey's going to win. More so when we said it was like a two horse race, I think that actually Emmy probably was a little more competitive, than we probably gave credit for. I would have been very curious to see had it just been a solo final all around with like a male and female winner each, if Emmy was not having to wait for Devin at multiple points here, how she would have fared against Casey and Tori, because it seemed like she was keeping up just fine in the team parts and stuff like that, at least. So I am thinking that we have more to see from Emmy in the future.
Yeah, I mean, no shock there if we're bouncing off of, you know, the discussion that we've had for the past couple of weeks. I think everybody that we've talked to and both of us agree Emmy will be back. So, you know, we'll see how that story continues to unfold as time goes on. But yeah, I guess I don't know. We'll work our way around this final, getting to the, of course, eventual end result of the CT and Casey victory. So, I mean, what did we see in the first part? It was the helicopter, the puzzle that Nani, you know, completely,
just totally whiffed.
Yeah. And then now we ended up with the cells. So this episode we started with the cells, and you know. It's like, at a certain point, like, taking notes, I was like, what am I even writing? Like, they're running. They're in the water.
Exactly.
Nelson, like, is not doing great in the water. Oh, they're running again.
Yeah. I felt like, ultimately, for me, the whole first part of this can be summed up, like, pretty quickly, mostly in that, like, not a great showing for Nelson in this final. And that could be editing, but I felt like it mostly was like, well, Nelson can't swim without a life jacket, which, like, hard to learn as an adult, but also when your financial compensation is coming down to it so frequently on the challenge finals, I would hope to put in, like, a little more time off season learning to run, just like we tell Big T to learn to run, and etc. like that. Mm-hmm. So a little disappointing there, and then he is ultimately kind of made a fool in the puzzle where he's saying, like, we can make triangles and just, like, stick stuff off the side, like, okay, and then Nelson pushes the ball off the cliff. So I felt like ultimately my takeaway here was, like, Nelson needs to slow down, and maybe I'm less confident in him as a finals competitor than I should be.
Yeah, I mean, I know you made a comment off air about how maybe Big T could have done this final. Like, I don't know, you know, with the way that everything was structured here. Would she have won? I mean, against, you know, the Casey's, Nani's, Emmy's? Probably not. But she definitely could have held her own. And it's just like, one of the things that I kept thinking while watching Nelson struggle with everything you just talked about, watching Devin struggle with the cardio, I'm like, honestly, Josh would have smoked them both. Like, he would have. I don't know that he would have smoked CT. I mean, CT is CT, and that's a whole different animal there. But I think, I mean, and Kyle, obviously, also a different story. But I think he would have done a lot better than both Devin and Nelson. And, like, you know, if the question still arises of, sorry, I don't know why I'm talking about Josh here, but just, he was on my mind. If, you know,
I'm not going to complain.
If I'm looking forward to, like, not looking forward, but looking ahead to see, like, who can I actually see as a challenge champion one day, I do feel like I currently have Josh ahead of Devin and Nelson.
Ooh, look at you coming to the dark side.
I mean, it's like they're still all towards the lower end of this kind of list here. And this isn't any kind of standing or anything. It's just, you know, reality. Watching, you know, this is a modern final. This is the most modern final you could ever get. It's the most recent one. And seeing Devin and Nelson's weaknesses, they're not weaknesses that I think, you know, they can overcome next season or the season after. I feel like they need to put in work to be able to be on a CT's level, or even Kyle, who ended up coming in second.
Yeah, I mean, the final, like, Josh is clumsy, but the final takes that mostly out of the equation. It is running, which Josh can do. It is swimming, which Josh can do. It is puzzles, which, like, Josh is fine at. So I see the other two having a lot more weaknesses here, and I think that they were on heavy display.
Right. So, you know, we'll see if any of those predictions ever come to light. But so the beginning of this all here, after they get to that checkpoint with these giant, what was it called? The torpedo or something?
The torpedoes, yes.
Yeah. And then they end up, you know, with the puzzle here. And I mean, truly the only highlight that I have on my notes here is the extreme waist drop. I mean, you can't be on the Dom and Colin podcast and not, you know, spend, well, how much time do we have to spend? Do we have to, like, start the clock now and spend at least 5 minutes on extreme ways playing?
Everyone go look at Colin Stone's pinned tweet. Go watch The Genius if you have not already. Like, extreme ways dropped, and I truly thought that I, like, clicked the wrong bookmark on my tab or something. So I was very excited to hear a Genius staple play.
just wild. I didn't. I was. I mean, yeah. Extreme Ways is a great soundtrack to play on a reality show in specific moments. I don't know that this was one of them, but I guess I just at the end of the day should not complain that they included it in some way, shape, or form. So,
Yeah, it wasn't perfect. I feel like it was like 70% there. So,
right.
ultimately not great. I will say, while we're on the subject of this puzzle though, we complained about the like number line everything up as like to total 15 puzzle being overused. This is another puzzle that's completely overused. As soon as I saw it, I remembered it, know the solution. Like, it is frustrating, especially I think like Tori said, as soon as they run up to it, she's like, CT, you've already done this one. I know, I watched your final. You know this solution. He's like, oh yeah, I do. So like it's ultimately super unfair when that comes up, that it is so overused that being on the show before, watching the show, whatever, is just going to give you an absurd leg up over a rookie.
And I mean, well, to take it back a step before the puzzle,
Sure.
like, let me apologize. I don't know, to you or to anybody listening, for the fact that like my
Thank
level of
you.
paying attention. You're welcome. My level of paying attention to like a lot of parts of this final, like it's just I couldn't focus because I didn't care about what was happening. The part when they got to these what were they? Torpedoes. Everything has a different freaking name. And why did one team not have a key? They just. What did I miss there?
I have no idea.
Okay, so it's not just me. Great. Because all of a sudden, Devin's like, it would be great to have a key right now. And then the other team comes up, unlocks it, and whips it right off. But Devin's team was, I was like, where was the key? I don't know.
No. Well,
Was it
I
in the
know
water?
that. No, I know there was like a code and that Nelson can swim early on, but no, I don't remember exactly why there was a key. Look, I feel like a lot of people were in the same boat where Survivor fa finale was on the night before. We've criticized the challenge for going up against Survivor for the entire season, and now you put your finales on the same night, let alone that you split your finale into two episodes. Like the momentum was there last week. I feel like I was a lot more excited, and then this time it was kind of just like tuning in to see the inevitable play out almost. So I think that's like it's less than saying that like it's any person's fault for like zoning out here and there, because guess what? We did two rewatches and it still was hard to follow. Like it still was like that hard to like absorb every detail, because like you could put this in one night. First of all, that's my biggest thing. Stop making it two nights. It doesn't need to be for any reason. I would rather an extra week where like we had a full round and play out eliminations or whatever the case may be. So I don't need that. And then like there's just so many problems with the final format
If they're
that
gonna like
like
half-ass
lead to
the
that.
show at the final and all this stuff, I'm like, I'm gonna half-ass watch. And
And
it is what it is. If I miss something, that's your fault.
make the parts of the final actually impactful, because when I know that these cells are not going to be running to the finish line together, then I'm not that invested in how they're doing on
Right.
each checkpoint.
Yeah, it's
And so
like, this means nothing.
I think it's not uncommon for people to be tuning out, like especially like big challenge fans who like know this stuff. Sure, a casual is gonna be like, oh, I can't believe like this is, oh my God, what's gonna happen next? But like, guys, we all know, if you're listening to this podcast, I feel like you know that like it wasn't gonna matter. So it's frustrating.
Right, so I mean, we'll speed through this. After they got with, got the puzzles completed, CT obviously leading his team there, and then eventually the orange team caught back up. But then we get to this part where they're pushing the big giant cages up this hill. Like, okay, cool, great, exciting. We're having fun. Apparently, their sleeping equipment was inside there, which they didn't tell us on the show, but Tori said it on the podcast. That was like, there's a reason they didn't say it on the show. Why would that fucking matter? But who cares? So Purple finished that first, and that this is the whole thing where TJ was like, I told you guys to, not finish last today, and they didn't make a big deal of it until the following morning, but Purple did finish first, so bravo to them if anyone cares. But then they go to this cave, they're sleeping here. There's not really anything exciting here besides them eating out of cans and Tori on her podcast explaining how she used the bathroom in this cave. Like, what,
Yeah, didn't need as detailed of an explanation. I am always asking for behind the scenes. They don't show us enough, though. I was fine on missing that.
Yeah. Yeah, she if anyone cares, she set up two stones, one for each
Making
cheek, and just let loose. Okay, so sorry.
making me relive it.
Sorry. We had to hear it, so does everybody else. So yeah, the next morning, like there's like this cave was probably like beautiful to like spend a night in. Just it looked really, cool or whatever. But it's just, if you're gonna cut things out, cut that out. Like just show them going to bed and waking up. Like there was no, overnight element where somebody has to stay awake or anything like that. We didn't do that this time around, so just, whatever.
Which, good. I'm happy they didn't do that because I find that often like boring, and also like I just don't care that much if someone has to stand up for 12 hours. It's not interesting to me. Let them sleep and like move on. But I also thought like last season we had such like a absolutely like stunning cave, and this time I'm like, oh, it's warm.
Yeah,
Look
this one
back
wasn't
there, and
as
they didn't
nice.
even show. Like the camera did not pan around to whatever they were looking at.
Well, if they panned
So
around, you would have seen Tori,
it was like this cave looked very nice. I would love to spend 15 minutes in there and leave.
I agree. So eventually they do leave. They get back outside the next morning. TJ is going to inform them that since the orange team cell squad, whoever came in last, they're going to be going head to head with each other. So we're going to have Kyle versus Nelson and, of course, Casey versus Nani. One of them will go home or whatever. One of them will continue on in the final. So I guess, the less important of these two stories. Kyle and Nelson, take it away. What did you think of this matchup?
Well, I was going to say, first of all, we've seen this elimination before. Back me up. What did you think about it as the choice
Oh,
for the
I thought you
final
were saying, like,
elimination
back
pair?
me up that we've seen this before. I'm like, yeah, no,
No.
we've seen
Yeah,
this
back
before.
me up. We've seen
Yes.
it. I'm not wrong. I did pay attention earlier in the season.
This was Michelle and Corey Lay's elimination, right? They
It was.
Michelle's win.
The
So what was
Michaela
the, sorry, what
erasure.
was the question? It was, did I like it again?
Yeah, did you like seeing it come back? Did one that you would have preferred, something like that?
I mean, I'm super results oriented, and I feel like as we get into the Casey and Nani of it all, like the choreography of the elimination and like of what the dynamic was, the fact that those two couldn't look at each other, I feel like this is more discussion that's saving for those two. But I think it was a good elimination for the spot.
Yeah, I think it was too. I really liked it. I feel like it was physical enough where also, like, let alone that you might get eliminated, you also probably gonna be pretty tired from having competed in this right before you're gonna have to do this run. So like an added little punishment. I thought it was good. One of the better eliminations of the season, and I would not hate seeing it back again in the future.
Yeah, I'm with you. So we're gonna get Kyle and Nelson, and there's really not a whole lot to talk about as far as the elimination itself goes. After Kyle beats Nelson, he's gonna, even tell Nelson, he's like, "There's really, what do we do? What do you do with there? It's just you're smaller than me. It's not a dig. It's not anything on you. It's just I am heavier and bigger than you at the end of the day. That's it."
And that's, one of the downsides here is like I feel like it is often tough to overcome that,
Yeah,
which a big
but
size
like,
difference.
sorry to cut you off, but like,
No, go
Derek
ahead.
Kaczynski is going to win this elimination no matter who he's up against.
I don't know, say I wouldn't say no matter who. I actually think he's gonna have a tougher time in this than say a pole wrestle, but like I could see a Nelson beating, I don't know, do you want to say like an MJ or someone random, whatever, like someone who
MJ.
is like, sure. Let's I was like, how far back do we have to go to fight someone, like someone who is bigger but like not necessarily like as good as these physical eliminations. So I don't think Nelson is like drawing dead against every single person that's bigger, but Kyle is proven to be like pretty scrappy. I thought that it actually would be a little bit closer than it was, just given how good Nelson is at this type of elimination in general. But I also did like once he beat him, like TJ's pep talk. I was glad they
Oh my
included
God, yeah. Like that was so like I don't even that was so Jeff Probst. Like
that.
I didn't expect it, and I appreciate like the way that he I appreciate I guess the whole thing that he did there. I guess maybe I'm like, did I have to see it? Like, but then if I didn't see it, I wouldn't have known that it existed. But I'm just like, it was like I said, very Jeff Probst like. It was very It was just like Big Brother energy, not Big Brother the show, like TJ being Nelson's big brother. Now I'm throwing in every Viacom show.
It was.
I don't know. I was just like, okay, this is nice, but this guy is like, you know, when you get into that mode, or I don't know if you ever get into that mode. I've gotten there before, of just like you're either so angry about something or so upset about something that like you almost like can't even hear the world around you because you just need 10 minutes to process.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally fair for me. It ultimately came down to this was much more interesting than 45 more seconds of carrying the torpedo over a path.
Right.
So I was glad they included this. I thought it was interesting. I liked seeing also like TJ's dynamics with some of the contestants that have been on for much longer. Like he obviously like has a relationship with Nelson and like was encouraging. Like this is one more step. You are closer to winning your final. Like you are going to take this and do better next time. So I don't know if that's true,
Yeah,
but
we have false hope.
I enjoyed the pep talk nonetheless.
Yeah, Nelson, like, obviously very discouraged here. He's like, you know, I don't know what it takes to be a champion anymore, but I love the challenge, and one day I will be a champion of this game. And I don't have the heart to tell him that that's not true, but I'm, you know, gonna let him, hope for the best and keep striving to, to fix his stroke. And
There we go.
yeah.
Who would you just, I guess, while we're here, if current day, would you take, and let's assume they're both going to come back equal number of seasons, would you take Corey or Nelson in a must win?
Corey.
Corey? I
Yeah.
think I'm still on Nelson.
I can't watch that puzzle performance and just overall chaotic energy all throughout this final and say anything other than not Nelson.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's just, I mean, the evidence is right in front of us. We just watched it twice in the past
I'm just
24
taking
hours.
Nelson as a better runner. And like ultimately I'm sticking by that matters quite a bit. And hopefully he ends up like with a partner who can save
Maybe. I'm not counting on it, but the bigger story here, Casey and Nani.
Oh, this was rough. And I'm like, okay, I enjoy them as a couple, but individually and just like even like as much as I like them together, I don't need them on TV together so much. So I wasn't expecting this to be as quite as heavy as it was. We had been set up really like how many weeks now of like Nani and Casey, they just want to cross the finish line together. We got a lot of that, like how much Casey's helped Nani grow. And so this was rough.
So here's a fun exercise. Off the top of our heads right now, name like five well-known challenge couples that have like competed on the show together. Jenna
I
and
dislike
Zach.
so many of them.
I that's what I'm saying. Start anywhere.
No, it's going to be like Jordan and Tori and Jenna and
Jenna
Zach
and
and
Zach.
Kara and
Let's
Polly.
give
Like
a
all
let's.
these names I don't want to give
Okay,
airtime.
well, the first one that came to my mind was like CT and DM. So we'll give a shout out to.
Oh
We'll give a
no,
shout out to
good.
DM. I don't know. That's four. Give me one more.
Danny and
Oh my
Melinda.
goodness. We're not talking about that one yet. Okay, so the exercise here is to just imagine like a world where, they had to go up against each other, and you'd have to imagine it's some kind of elimination where it's not physical, maybe a puzzle or something like that, but just it's something that you would never actually see unless there was like a pairs elimination or anything. But nothing comes to mind for me where one half of the relationship is on one side, the other half is on the other side. Potentially this could have happened out there, and maybe I'm just not remembering it. If I don't know, maybe on a bloodline, not bloodlines. I don't think it happened.
I don't know if there were any. Well, so the one that immediately I know is you said that it could happen in pairs. I know that Wes and Johanna did go against each other back in Fresh Meat, back in the day.
That sounds right.
So that definitely happened. It may have happened on other paired seasons. That's not immediately jumping to mind.
It's just no. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I'm also wondering. Only because it's been discussed openly on Vendettas at this point. Maybe did Rachel and Veronica ever go against each other when they weren't openly a couple? So that would be the only other one that I could think of off the top of my head as a potential
Right, so
time.
just like point being that like to the extent of
Very
like the
infrequent,
relationship
sure.
that Casey and Nani have here, like the way that they're like these two are all in. The whole season has been about their story for both. Like this is their only storyline this season with has pretty much been about each other and their blossoming relationship. And obviously, we see to this day that it's still going very strong. So just to see that they had to be in elimination against each other. Obviously, as Devin said, he's like, it's two girlfriends going at it. Like, that's not something that we've really had on the show necessarily before, let alone like two girls dating on the show, two women dating on the show, let alone them going against each other in mm-hmm. elimination. So just like the fact that this was like something new, it just kind of like made you think, like stop for a second and be like, wow, like this is just not something that you ever expected to see. And then as it's starting and we're getting the confessionals from both Nani and Casey, like breaking down, crying before they even started, just being like, I can't believe I have to do this. Like, it legitimately is like they're about to go into the Hunger Games and, you know, they're told that only one can survive. And it's like, you know, they can't sit here and have their Katniss and Peeta moment of like, let's make it so that, you know, we both can win. Like, that's not happening. TJ's only letting one of you through. You know, it's not happening. So, yeah, this entire elimination. Go ahead.
For me, what made it so impactful was that ultimately they both knew Casey had the better shot of winning, but that Nani has been trying for this for so long and like had a decent enough shot. I would like to explore, like, had Nani been paired up with CT, because she's gonna get her choice if she wins here. Like, do we think they win? I don't think it's out of the question. So there is a real consideration, like, for Casey. She said that, like, she's won Big Brother. Nani has been on the show for how many years, just trying right. and trying and trying to get that finals win and never been able to do it. She's like at this point where if she was able to like pair up with CT or like it, like we said, it's a run up and down a hill. I think Nani could pull her own on that. So it's just like is very frustrating in their position, obviously, to be that close and just like know that the better option is for you to give up on your dream once again that you've had for like, what is it, 15 years at this point for Nani?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not gonna sit here and criticize what she's gonna say after that, which is her rebuttal to what you just said. She's walking away a winner. She said that she has Casey, and that's the biggest win she could have ever had. I don't know. You know, she kind of briefly touched on that on the show, and then you know everything that she's been saying online in the past 24 hours is all that saying. You know, I've been on, like, she's posted an Instagram like probably like 2 hours ago saying like, you know, 11 seasons, and this is the biggest win that I'll ever walk away with, having Casey by my side. And I'm like, you know, it's like, yeah, cheesy as hell. It's like, you know, doesn't everybody love when people say I'm a winner no matter what? But if she's satisfied with this, then, you know, if that's the takeaway, you know, and how could she not be? Like, yes, she's like madly in love. And also their thought process worked here of, yeah, Casey has a better chance. And now Casey went on, won $400,000. And mm-hmm. now the two of them are living together, very happy together. And I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the bank accounts look like as far as the shared money go, but she's fine. They're fine.
For sure. And I think like that's obvious. It's just like in terms of the weight of it, I do think like it is hard to just see that crashing around you. I really did like where Nani says like, I'm not going to say Casey gave me this round, but like she's being yeah. encouraging, and to see Casey turn around and being like, are you sure? Do you want this? And I really think that like Casey would have walked away. Like 100%, I do believe that Casey would have given this to Nani and said, like, take your shot. I'm supportive of you and I want you to have your chance. Right. So, like, that's what it was for me, where most people walk away and say, like, I'm the winner. And I'm like, you met a couple friends that you probably won't speak to in 4 years. Nani and Casey are currently, like, exploring in vitro on the outside and, like, legitimately starting a family. Nani's, like, crying about how she has not even, like, held hands with a girl and she finally feels comfortable, like, with herself as a person and then her sexuality. And it's just totally different from the person that she was before she was with Casey. And, like, I believe that it's, like, very visible on the screen. You can see the change in Nani over the last few seasons.
100%. Like, she has, like, every word in her confessionals there, just hearing, like, the crowd around them, all of the other, you know, finalists mm-hmm. Sitting there being like, oh, this is so hard to watch. Like, oh, this is terrible. Oh my God. Like, just the gravity of the entire scene there. And it's like, it's an elimination on a game show. Like, one of you is going home. Like, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, that's what it is.
But also, no, I agree. Like, it's just funny when you put it that way.
But it's like, this, you know, when you get wrapped up into this world, and we know these two people so well at this point after years and years of watching them, Nani especially, and then just, you know, they did a very good job with putting this whole scene together of just, you know, making you feel how sucky this was for both of them. It's just, it was a terrible situation for them to end up in would have been a lot better if, you know, say it was Casey versus Emmy, or something, or even like Nani versus Tor or whatever. Like if it was just not them against each other and say Nani got taken out, that still sucks, but it wasn't Casey the one to do it. Or, you know, even if Casey, same thing. So, just the, and like I said earlier with like the, I keep calling it the choreography, but just like the way that this, sorry, that's how my brain works. The way that like this elimination is set up where, you know, you are back to back and you can't see each other, but you know what both of them are thinking and feeling and emoting. And, the fact that they can't even look at each other, just sit back to back and like, you know, it's like, it's, I don't know. I just was so like, my attention it was all in on at least this part of the episode, both times that I watched it. And it was a tough watch, you know, to see this all go down. I'm glad that Nani got her one round from Casey, just to give her like that last split second of a chance to say like, do you want this? Obviously she's like, no, Casey, this one's yours. Like you take it and go get this.
Yeah, and look, I said it earlier this podcast, I'll say it now, Casey's boring. Like Nani, not my favorite on the show. Like I don't find them to be like impactful on an episode to episode basis where I am like so happy they're on the cast, but like in this moment I'm tearing up, I'm crying. Like this was a very good moment. I think it's one of the ones from this season that I actually will remember fondly, whereas I feel like there's not that many this season. So I am glad that like Nani walked away being much more sure of herself and her sexuality. Casey walked away with money, and ultimately that's you know, they both did good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could probably talk more on this whole section for longer, but there's, you know, no need. You get the idea of how I feel about it. So, and I did like Kyle's comment at the end, joking about how after Nani and Casey shared a little kiss at the end, he's like, whoa, Nelson and I were going to do that. But, you know, we decided against it. I've never seen anyone kiss after an elimination before. That's what I'm saying. Like, all I would like name these five different couples we can think of off the top of our head. I can't think of anybody, you know, going in for a kiss after one of them is about to leave. Again, sure, it's probably maybe happened before, but and maybe even from like, you know, people that were just hooking up on the show and coupled up or whatever, but nobody that comes to mind of this magnitude of a relationship. So Nani is very, you know, emotional here, as was Nelson, for kind of different reasons. But as Nelson and Nani are going to exit, we're going to be down to this final six here, Casey and Kyle with big decisions to make.
I do want to say, first of all, I regret not saying Cam and Leroy, but now moving on. Just like,
that's all on you. I asked you the question.
You had an option.
Danny and Melinda.
My brain is broken. But yeah,
we're just letting Cam and Leroy like live in their peace for right now and not bothering them. We're not,
I didn't want to bring them into
exactly
the conversation with the other couples that my brain was throwing at me. But partner pick where ultimately, again, this was a weird part of the, I don't know what I, of the final. I don't know how they really could have done it better, but all of the sudden, yes, I get that they won their elimination, so they're getting a reward, but also they came in last on the second day, so now they get to decide who their partners will be for running the rest of the final.
Feel like this is as good a time as ever to bring up the results of the must-lose draft that we have wrapped up with our good friends Brian and Allie. Coming out of the episode and going into most of the day today, Scally and I were under the assumption that we won, because just when the points all shake out, we did finish a half a point ahead of Brian and Allie's team with the way that, you know, Casey beat Nani and Kyle beat Nelson. Both of those points kind of canceled each other's out on Brian and Allie's team. And then Casey won, CT won. So that was like, you know, the points were just all evened out across the board. Just take my word for it that it was, you know, a 0.5 victory on our end until the actual results came in. And points have been awarded for or points had been taken away, I believe, right, for Tori and CT both getting taken here in this situation, which I don't know that I ultimately agree with. I don't. But that's how sports go, right? The referee makes a decision and you just live with it. So congratulations. It's a great way to say congratulations to Brian and Allie on their ultimate victory.
Hey, I leave things in the trusty ref's or the, you know, the DD's hands in this case. They ruled it a partner switch, so that's them's the breaks. So congrats to Brian and Allie. Obviously, I'm sure that we'll jump in and do it again whenever they manage to film season 38, which is looking further and further away by the minute. But yeah, you know, a fun draft for sure.
If anyone wants, you know, if confused as to why this was controversial, just two seconds on my of my confusion here, because generally when it's like a partner swap or partner infiltration, like on the scoreboard, it says like person A is with B and they leave B essentially to take person C. So I guess the debate is like, were Casey and Kyle a team when TJ asks if they want to stay together? Yeah, they were in a cell together. But the format of the final was changing to something completely different than what they had been in. They'd been in cells, and now they're about to form teams. So if Casey and Kyle had come together, they would have formed a team, not stayed a team. Is my opinion on the matter. Mm-hmm. I can easily see how it could be interpreted both ways. And again, that's just where we go. I'm just giving more context in case
things
anybody was confused.
Happen. But I will say, did you expect Kyle and Casey to stay together?
No, I think Casey's really into Nani.
All right. Well, moving on to then talking
mean,
about this partner.
Game.
No. Now we'll transition to talking about the partner selection. Did you think that Casey and Kyle were going to choose to partner for the rest of the final together?
Well, it's funny the way that they like looked at each other and were just like, no. I was like, why would they come to that conclusion? I guess like because Casey sees CT there and like knows that that's where she wants to go. And I don't know, maybe Casey and Kyle don't have great like friendship chemistry together. Maybe that's like not. Kyle obviously knew that he wanted to take Tori. He was very happy to call her over when that's going to happen. So, I mean, overall, grand scheme of things, no, I'm not surprised. But I don't think that they would have been miserable together.
So at first I was like, Kyle, what are you doing? Like, why would you not just be like, come on? But and like in the hopes, like maybe it happens. But on a rewatch, it looks like Kyle leans forward and Casey leans forward already shaking her head like not happening. So Kyle's like, yeah, obviously neither of us want to stay together. Maybe that was he was just slower to expressing how they both felt. But it felt like Kyle saw the way that that was going.
I mean, even if he did, I think that I think he still wants Tori. I mean, after like spending, because they don't know exactly what's coming next, right? Mm-hmm. So he just did an entire puzzle with Casey where neither of them could put their brain cells together to figure it out. So that on top of the fact that Tori's been like pretty far ahead for a lot of different portions of this final so far. So if I'm Kyle, I feel like I don't see Casey as 100% a lock better than Tori. I think it makes sense for both of them.
But I do think I take Casey marginally over Tori in terms of puzzle, and then I take her slightly more than marginally in terms of running. So I would be going with Casey here, but I can understand being happy with either choice.
Yeah, so the way that, you know, as we kind of just all laid out, Kyle is going to end up with Tori, Casey ends up with CT, which leaves Devin and Emmy together. And from here to the end, congratulations, Casey and CT.
Yeah, this is where the final actually starts. Like, okay, now everything starts over. We are going to start the final now. We have one leg to the final. Run up the mountain, memorize a 20-digit code, run back down the mountain. That's it.
And like the person who like did the most impressive memorization came in third.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have Devin, like as soon as the partners are picked, it's like, wow, three absolute powerhouse pairs. And I was looking for like the sarcasm, didn't feel it, Devin.
No.
But that's fine. You know, it's just like I was a little bit underwhelmed knowing how little actually was deciding this large amount of money.
Yep. And I think they tried to cover that up with, you know, this little announcement of whoever gets there, you're going to decide how you split the money with everybody. And it's like, oh, here we go again, more money splitting, which was very quickly, you know, kind of underwhelming when we got to the end and saw how they all shook it out, which I'm not saying that like it's a bad decision what they made, but, you know, it's just not the decision that I guess has led to more explosive television in the past couple times that money has been split in any way. So, yeah, they're memorizing analyzing those codes. They get back, and CT and Casey, you know, punch it in. They figure it out. Kyle and Tori were very close behind it. I think Tori said it was like 10 seconds. I don't know if that's exactly the amount of time, mm-hmm. but either way, it was definitely close. You could tell that they were like right on top of each other there. And then, yeah, they're going to end up splitting the money. And I don't know. What are your thoughts on the money split of taking $50,000 for each person?
Well, so I was going to ask you basically what your expectations were and then what you thought you would have done. But I'll go first in that I expected the money split, especially for CT and Casey. Like, they're both going to be back plenty of times, I'm sure, despite Casey saying that I never like count on a callback. Like, sure, I feel like you're locked in, even if you should, maybe shouldn't be in terms of entertainment value. So, and obviously CT's getting the call and until, you know, literally cannot step foot on the season. Yeah. But, you know, like, you're already going to have enough targets on you. Like, maybe buy some goodwill here when, like, it's not the biggest difference in the world, especially when, like, I wonder how much, like, what would put you into a different tax bracket, basically, yeah. In terms of, like, you take home this much money, like, how much is that going to actually be after taxes that you did not take? So I expected this. I think when I was, like, in my head, I was like, are they going to do, like, 100,000 for second place and then like 50 for third, or like 100,000 each and 50 each? So I think that they gave like just slightly off from what I expected, but you know, it's around where I thought this was gonna go.
Yeah, I expected that they were going to not like, well, because at first I was like, wait, so like, are we like it's like taking one of them taking the money or whatever, but then, you know, I don't know, I guess it came more clear. I'm not surprised in any way that they decided to split it up. I mean, if CT was by himself, I was like, does he like lean in full villain here? But Casey is definitely just not the person that's going to be like, no, I'm keeping every single penny here for myself. Like, they've been, as I think she was the one that said, like, you know, we've all been doing this all together all season. This was, you know, we all got here together, whatever she said. So, you know, I don't know. Is $50,000 too much, too little? I think it's a perfectly fine amount to give to mm-hmm. all four other people. They're still, you know, Casey and CT walk home with $400,000 each. Yep. I always want to say 40. So, you know, everybody was paid just plenty. And CT is now the most winningest challenger as far as money goes.
You know what? It's not bananas. I feel great, I agree. Personally.
I agree. CT now is the person in first place, followed by Bananas, followed by Ashley, and then I don't know after that. And I believe that if I was reading the challenge stats chart correctly, I think it was saying that Casey is in 11th place now overall. Obviously, like, all these new winners.
I think I saw 10th. I don't know if that's incorrect, though.
I mean, 10th or 11th.
Yeah, something like that. Just jumps that high.
Yeah. I mean, like, looking at, like, the top 20, I remember seeing, like, pretty much everybody in recent years, because obviously the prize pool has gone up significantly. So, you know, take that for whatever it means to you. Just before we get too far away from it, I did listen to Amanda's appearance on Bananas' podcast this week. And just as far as like CT goes, because I'm sure we'll have more to get into. I feel like this will come up at the reunion or just in future discussions about, you know, how did he make it here again? But she was talking about how like all these guys just want his like love and affection, friendship and like admiration and whatever, like basically saying that like these guys were never going to turn on CT because they want him to like them. And I was like, I mean, I can see it. It's like, you know, I do think there's like a friendship there, but Amanda was like very quick to be like, nope, CT doesn't talk to a single person when he's not on the challenge. So if you think there's a friendship, he's not sending a Christmas card. There's nothing like that. This is all delusion.
That's interesting, because I do know that there were like pictures of Josh and CT hanging out in the off season for one of their birthdays. So I guess he does like infrequently, but it does not surprise me that he is pretty disconnected in terms of like, I don't think he's, you know, regularly checking in on people by any means.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. But just like also for all these people, like, it's kind of pathetic. Like, I'm sorry, if someone doesn't want to be your friend, you should not want to be their friend.
Right. So that's that. I mean, do we need to get into the is CT the greatest of all time discussion? I feel like, I don't know.
Give me your quick, 5 second answer, whatever you want to say.
No.
No, you're right, because Turbo is.
Oh, get out of here. It's fine.
I'm right. But that
Because
was 5 seconds. That's all the time we had.
Brian Cohen put up his poll earlier saying, is it CT or is it bananas? And, I needed to make sure I pointed out that he didn't have Amanda out there so I could vote for her, but whatever. So when it was between CT and bananas, I picked CT because I'm not letting bananas win this poll. But, I mean, CT's been very impressive as of late, but when you look at the whole picture, I don't know that I am picking CT. I mean, today,
I'm not
if you're asking me
sure.
today, next season, the next 10 years, assuming these guys are still in the picture, I'm going CT. But overall portfolio, I can't give it to
I
CT.
mean, how many times did CT go home because he like hit someone or like
That's what I'm saying. Like,
was, you know?
if we're
Well,
looking at
but
the overall picture, I think Bananas has always cared and been dialed into the gameplay in a way that CT maybe also is at times, but doesn't always like didn't always have the dedication to making sure that he was playing the best game like Bananas always wanted to.
I mean, had the challenge been giving away, 500,000 for first place or any amount like that, I think CT would probably held a couple of those punches. Maybe not all of them, but I just, when he was being paid tens of thousands for club appearances versus 15,000 for winning an entire season of the challenge, it's not that surprising to me that he was fine with going home a couple times early in order to prove a point.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that CT is stronger now than Bananas and was stronger at their peaks than Bananas.
Yeah. All right. So that's the CT corner here. And let's like real quick hits on everybody else. Casey as the challenge champion.
It was always going to happen. Like, this was inevitable. Casey was going to win a season. I'm fine with it. Like I said, for me, I think you said off pod that you potentially were hoping for Tori here. For me, I find Tori pretty insufferable as a person and on the show. So I am like, Casey's boring, but I find her like perfectly fine off of the show. 90% of the time, at least. So, I'm happier for Casey and Nani to be going home with this money than for Tori.
I mean, yeah, I can tie Tori in and we'll make her next here. Casey, I think I 100% obviously agree that I she was this was always destined to happen. I picked her first overall in our draft, for a reason. It just she's always screamed somebody that I think could be a challenge champion, and here she is. So no surprise there. And of course, she'll be back if her and Nani are both planning to be on next season. I'm sure their spots are ready for them. Tori also, I'm sure will be there next season. And I don't know. It's just, I like, as I think I said last week or the week before, I do like to see people that have been at it for a while here on this show finally get rewarded with a win. And I don't dislike Tori as much as you do. That's been something that's been consistent for a while. She's definitely gotten under my skin a little bit this season, or much more than she ever has in the past. Like a lot of frustration of just like, Tori, like why can't you just own up to your game? Like all that stuff. I get that. But I guess just like the couple of seasons where I was in her corner is still kind of like floating around in my brain. So there was, some element of that of me just being like, just get to the win already and let's move on. So that's where I'm at with Tori. I don't know. Do you have any final thoughts on her?
I think that this season has shown to me that some of what I was attributing to Tori being fake was Tori being like a little spacey at times and not playing the best game. But I still feel pretty confident in a good amount of it being like performative fake, whatever the case may be. So not the biggest Tory guy still. Tried with the clean slate, I turned around on Josh this season. I'm not saying I'm the number one Josh Stan by any point, but
You sound like
like
it.
on this podcast, sure. But with, I feel like that is reversed hard for the record. But in terms of, who's number one on Josh, at least. But who is number one on Tori has definitely remained consistent.
Nani, I don't really know. Is there like final comments on Nani? It's just, more of the same, another season, but
Well,
obviously, okay.
No, what I will say is that Casey on the Torian and Issa podcast said that originally Nani and Casey had turned down this season. They were not going to do it. So I don't know what changed that they ended up both being on it. But I am curious to see if that answer continues to be like it actually stays as a no for any season moving forward. I think that a lot of people are looking at taking next season off potentially, and who knows when that will film. But I'm curious to see how frequently we get Nani and Casey moving forward.
I mean, Nani said at the very end of this, confessional that she had there, being like, every time that I get into these moments, all it does is make me want to come back. And she's like, I'm not done yet. So, yeah, sure. Could she take like a season off or so? But she specifically said to us that she's not done. So I'm going to take her word for that. And I'm
I agree there.
perfectly fine to see her back again. I'm not somebody who dislikes Nani. Even if, like, we're still in this situation where it's like, is she ever going to get that win? Potentially not. But potentially, maybe yes. I don't know. It's
I
a.
don't dislike her. It's a spot that you attributed to Jenna at one point where it's like when she goes home, that's fine. When she's on the season, that's fine. But I'm never like super invested in Nani as being on the season or not.
Right. And I do like, seeing her grow as this person that she's like, more assured of herself and, like has a whole new, like outlook on life and being able to be herself as she's,
100%.
saying. So, we're seeing a different Nani for sure. And then last woman, remaining to talk about here is Emmy. And, yeah, obviously did a incredible job this season as far as competition goes. We'll be very interested to see how things go next season when she is a vet by challenge standards. And is she gonna be like leading the charge to take out all the rookies and be like, this is how it works? Like, I feel like I could see it. And we'll see what song she comes up with next season.
Yeah, I think that Emmy has the potential to get like kind of a big head in terms of the edit, at least, where she is going to be like, rookies earn your stripes, and also like the vets that I'm not as close with, like why do you think you're better than me? And like I have the backing of CT and/or Devin, so like go down there and too bad. So I am curious to see Emmy's future on the challenge. I think it's basically a lock that we'll see her back many seasons. Personally, I'm like, there's some conflict for me in terms of how I feel about Emmy, but I'm 100% sure we'll be seeing her for seasons to come.
Yep. Kyle made a comment about how he was like, I was gonna take next season off, I do have a baby on the way, but nope, I'm gonna be there.
How many times has Kyle said he's going to take next season
I
off?
mean,
Like, I don't know if I'm ever going to believe him
I
again.
totally understand like the fact that like when literally anybody on the show that makes it this far into the season, like, when you're there for what, like 3 months, like, yeah, it sounds appealing to not have to do that for 3 months. But yeah, when they get to the end, he's just like, yeah, I'll be back. It's fine. I'll bring the baby with me or FaceTime. It's fine. Either way, Kyle sounds like he'll be back, and I have no complaints on that end, even though it'll be his like 30th season in a row, just because he continues to entertain me. So.
I will, as much as I was rooting for Kyle, it was not enough to overcome Tori for me personally in terms of these finals. But yeah, I don't know. I do like what? Unless he gets exactly first, he's going to keep coming back. Then like he has a great shot. I do think that if you switch Tori and Casey, I think that we are looking at Kyle as a champion, considering it seemed like Tori was accepting the blame that Kyle was not letting her for forgetting the numbers there. So Kyle almost the champion there.
Yeah, we did talk a little bit about Nelson earlier. I don't really have anything else there, but
Same old.
overall, we'll say it again.
Same old.
Yeah.
Nelson will be back. I'm curious to see how he is without Corey, considering it seems pretty confirmed that Corey is taking at least a season off. So I am interested to see Nelson, because he does seem to have like good relationships with a lot of these vets, particularly like how he went out on the season with Kyle. I believe that a lot of them actually traveled to like Ibiza after, and Nelson, I think, went with them. So I think that he is set up better socially than he has been in the past, and I'm curious to see that moving forward.
And then Devin Walker, who played no doubt, as much as Josh, we complimented his game. I think you kind of have to say the same for Devin. Just did a very good job getting himself and his allies to the end. Beating his allies over the head with like, "I'm protecting you. Look out for me too." Didn't really work at the very last second with the Emmanuel thing in that elimination, but overall, getting to the final, did a great job. But obviously, the one fatal flaw of leaving CT in the game. Not that without CT there, he would have come in first, but certainly would have come closer. So, still room
Well,
for improvement.
on that note, if anyone just decides to leave CT past the halfway point, like, I don't care. You don't deserve to win the season. Like, goodbye. I don't feel any sympathy for you. So, in terms of Devin, the person that I would most like to see take a break, to be honest, like, yes, he played a great strategic game in terms of getting his alliance to the end. But had this been on a show with a jury, like, if I'm there, feel like a bitter jury member, where like, don't beat me over the head with how much everyone owes you and stuff like that. So he did great on me this season. I can totally turn it around by like being tolerable another time. But I am expecting to see Devin back, but not excited about it personally.
Lots more to come with this discussion for all these people as we get to the reunion next week and probably the week after, I would assume.
At
So
least.
yeah, so I don't think we need to spend a whole lot more time here with this crew. There's plenty more to come. And I guess just for the much anticipated must-win draft, I win.
How could it have gone?
I know. Not a whole lot of suspense there, just in the fact that like I've been very far ahead for like a couple of weeks now.
All right, we get
Yeah, sorry. I'm trying to say it
it.
really quietly.
And
But then to also have my two finalists be the two winners of my first two picks
did
overall.
anyone have a shot at taking you out here in this final? Is anyone close enough?
Gotta be honest, I didn't even do the points.
Oh my God.
I just
The arrogance.
like maybe I'll go back in there and do the points, but I mean I
I'm just like, hey, did someone have Kyle and Tori on their team? Was there any way this could have happened?
well
No,
you
probably
had
not.
Tori and Emmy, so you
Okay.
even if you had one winner
I would rather lose
still wouldn't have happened.
the draft.
And then the only person who had a man and a woman on their team that I guess, if they had both people win, potentially could have, I guess, I think was Haley. I think Haley had Devin and Nani, if I'm remembering correctly. So yeah, it
I'd
just was a
rather you
tough
win
run.
the draft.
So did you win last season, right?
Maybe. That sounds right. But I don't know. It could have been you. I don't remember, to be honest.
I don't remember either. Last season was. Yeah, I got no memory. I could very easily check. Maybe we'll get back to that next week. But yeah, okay. Congratulations to
All
me.
right.
And can't wait to do it again. Anything else on the final?
No, I'm good to we'll keep talking about it when the reunion comes around.
For sure. All right. Well, if anybody is checking out here, we never really say goodbye to people after the Challenge 37 discussion, but I'm sure a couple people do leave. Thank you for listening to our Challenge Season 37 coverage all season long, and stick around as we get into the reunion over the next 2 weeks, maybe even with a friend or two to join us. So exciting
Ooh.
to wrap that up all around and have a little bit of a break before 38 maybe ever films.
Agreed.
So it will eventually, just maybe not tomorrow, filming. So the Challenge All Stars 2 on Paramount Plus. There was an episode of the Challenge All Stars that was on the on MTV itself. Was that All Stars 1 or 2? Do you know?
I actually don't know. I
Okay,
don't. I
neither
did
do I.
not check that out.
It was it like aired after the Challenge itself, after the final, I believe. But I don't know
Interesting.
if that was All Stars 1 or 2.
I
I don't
feel
know.
like they did that once last season with like the premiere of All Stars, or at least like an extended segment to try to get people on
Yeah,
Paramount.
I mean, it would make a lot more sense if it was season 2 because
Agreed.
that would get people to watch the current season. But
Who
either way,
knows?
All Stars 2, we jump back in here with the King's Palace, where after last week, Tech and Melinda had both won their life savers, life shields, not savers.
There we go.
Not the candy. I knew it sounded weird, but I said it anyway. So they're all celebrating. Brad's a little upset, realizing that he and apparently his boy Nehemiah are playing two different games. So that's unfortunate. Melinda reconfirms how good she's feeling with this group. So that's that. They're all, feeling great. But as Brad said last week, this group is pretty out there. People know that they exist and they've taken a couple shots. So, remains to be seen how things are going to go with them. And then we also have a check in here with Janelle and Tyler about Tyler's spot in the game. So I will turn to you for anything you want to talk about in this area.
I like that the Three Kings is now the Three Kings and the Queen, being the King's Palace. That was enjoyable. I know it's not the best gameplay, but you know what? Better than someone else's this episode that really left themselves in the middle waiting too long to grab any available life savers or life shields in Tyler. So this scene of Janelle and Tyler popping up, I did not feel great for Tyler specifically here.
Yeah, he's talking about how he's been. I was like, this guy's reading his own edgic chart in the middle of the season. He's like, well, I've been so middle of the road this year, this season. I don't really know, where my game sits. I feel like every week it's been, one alliance, and then Tyler and some of the women that are just not included in anything. So he's really just been right in the middle, which is, what are you going to say?
Tyler did the editing of the season. You're right.
Okay. Good for him. So, yeah, I mean, it puts himself in a spot where eventually he is going to be a name that, would get called in, because it's like, well, he's not really in our alliance. And obviously that's not how it went down here, but, very easily could have had he, right? He was, him and Jasmine were the losers of the challenge. John A fell in a flamingo. Jasmine is happy she's an all-star, and Kendall gets on the phone to call home. That's the update from the beginning of the episode.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about how while we wanted more Jasmine, we were not going to feel great once she started to show up, and so I got very nervous here as well.
Well, I mean, yeah, there. If to cut ahead, if the elimination had gone on as planned, I would have been extremely nervous for Jasmine.
I feel like they're not dissimilar in height, and Jasmine, I think, has a little size on her, so I don't know that this would have been the worst matchup, but Kendall's pretty strong, so, it would have been nervous for Jasmine, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like it would have been maybe one of her best-case scenarios, Jasmine, mm-hmm. For a matchup there, but not going to happen. So
there you go.
So, yeah, Kendall gets a phone call home, she's talking to her boys, and more on Kendall to come. What did you think of the Daily Challenge? Deep dive.
Okay, so deep dive, where people had to jump into, and I'm forgetting the name for the body of water, but they jump into the water, release the puzzle piece bags from the chest underwater, dive down. I did like that they had the option to jump from 30 or 15 feet. I just feel like anything that you give the contestants like more choices makes it more interesting, even if it's not like ultimately that significant. So I did enjoy it from that aspect. But we could have sped up a couple of these rounds, I would say.
Yep. I don't need every challenge to be them jumping into water, but I do feel like that's what every challenge has been so far. And they're all getting hurt. They're all like older. They're all not old, but they're just like, they're not made to be like falling into these like, it's
I don't know that ultimately what it was. I think it was a matter of, like Kendall said, that she has like a legitimate issue with basically like a cartilage disorder, it sounded like. So I don't know if it was the angle, if it was the illness that she struggles with. So I don't think this was so much more dangerous than the others, especially giving them the option of the 15-foot dive. And this felt like a classic challenge for me. Like the middle days of the challenge, this is what I expected.
Did those usually end in a puzzle, or did they end in like retrieve this, bring it back, and you're done?
Probably that, but a puzzle was not like entirely uncommon.
Yeah. It's just, the format of the challenge is like when he says what the challenge, we're here for deep dive, I can tell you exactly what it is before he even tells us what it is. So,
I mean,
yeah.
That's literally every reality show is this.
Fair yeah. enough.
Unfortunately, but
so
yes.
the way that this all worked, you know, he's going to tell them all to pair up. And what we don't know at the beginning, but what we find out after the end of the challenge is that these are going to be our new teams going forward. So, hey, format switch here. Exciting. Did you see that coming? Did you care? Were you, you know, feeling any kind of way about it?
Okay, so to talk about the format as a whole, and then I do have one comment elsewhere in terms of the team selection. I did not see it coming that this was going to be a season-long pairing, so I was very surprised by that. I don't know if I would have rather they known ahead of time. I think probably because you would see someone like Tyler. Like, I don't blame him at all when thinking that this is a one challenge team up, because that's what they all have been so far. It's not as if they had not been competing solo every single week up until now. There had been plenty of times where it was partners, then solo, then teams, then whatever. So I would not raise any red flags for me, and I would not want to create enemies by really insisting on avoiding a Jasmine, especially in that spot where he was not as aggressive in choosing a partner. So I think I would have rather they ultimately knew this was going to be a season-long pair up.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, I feel like you do get kind of a good TV moment after
True.
After he says, you know, these are going to be your teams going forward. It's like, you know, it's one thing to have that assessment, you know, when they're sitting there assessing their partnership here before they're about to compete. And then the whole time they're doing this, they're talking about like, oh, how do we work well together? Because this is going to be a permanent thing, rather than like, I think, you know, I'm talking myself into saying that I think I like it better the way that they did it, because it was just like, oh, here's a challenge. They had no idea that this was going to be their permanent thing. But now they get to like look back at what they just did together, whether it was good or bad, and say, oh, this is what I'm stuck with. So.
Mm-hmm. And I think after we discuss the challenge, I would like to discuss the pairs like moving forward and our prospects for them. But I will say one person annoyed me greatly. Can you guess who that may have been?
One person annoyed you greatly. It's not, I mean, is it Tyler? No, Jody.
No. It was Kohata. I thought it was so weird. Just like, and I rewound this even to hear when Casey's like about to pair up with Tyler, and I have no problem with Kohata going up and like making the play to pair up with Casey instead, if that's what he wants. But for where it's like, no, you're in, and like grabbing her and like pulling her over, and she's like, okay, I guess I'm in, and she says okay, he's like, good answer. Like, this is so against type of everything that I've known of Kohata for years and years and years, but I immediately was like, I don't want you to win the season, don't you? Like, that was so weird to basically like snap your fingers, like, let's go, good answer, now let's move. Like, very off character for me.
I definitely saw all of that, but I was very confused as to what was going on. So I kind of like overlooked it. I was like, I don't know what's happening here. Like, I really couldn't piece it all together. Obviously, and that ends up leaving Tyler, you know, partnerless for a couple minutes until he realizes that Jasmine also didn't have a partner. But yeah, that was a little strange. The two of them, Casey and Kohata, did seem to work together just fine. And we get the line from Casey about, oh, Kohata's such an underrated partner. I was like, okay, cool. Glad you guys are happy.
Yeah. I think if he had just been like, hey, Casey, do you want to team up with me? Like, hey, Casey, wait, like, you know, whatever. That probably ends up with the same result, but it felt very off to me. And maybe it was just that they had an understanding and that's why, like, the shorthand was fine. But yeah, the way that, like, we don't see any of that. So it felt very, like, snap your fingers, do what I say, come on, let's go. I was like, oh, yeah, not what I expected.
Explain yourself, Kohata. We're waiting.
Yeah, exactly. I would like an apology.
So Kendall and Nehemiah go... No, Kendall... Yeah? No.
Go ahead.
Who's Kendall paired with?
Kendall is paired up with Letarian.
Letarian. I don't think I wrote any notes for this challenge. Kendall and Nehemiah were first. Kendall got hurt.
Nope. And... Kendall and Letarian.
Sorry. I haven't set it up until this point, but I'm starting to really feel like the pounding of my headache that
Oh no.
I've been dealing with for this entire podcast. But now I need to
Been
excuse
there.
my brain being all over the place that it
You're
is
fine.
just
Do you want me
pounding.
to set up the pairs?
Sure.
All
Scally,
right.
take over.
So no problem. So
I'm
we
gonna take
do
a
have
nap.
Ke we have Kendall and Latarian who go first. I know that Kendall jumps in and pretty much immediately we're made aware that she has a
Sorry, I'm
like
laughing at
some
myself.
type of pain. It seemed like she like from what it seemed to me, she obviously got hurt. I thought that maybe she had injured like her larynx or something. She hit her neck weird and was having trouble breathing, which we later did find out that she was having trouble breathing, but it turned out we later found out she had hurt her rib upon entry but and managed to push through it for this challenge.
Right. So she's, later on when they when Casey and Jasmine, so many names, come over to her bed, she's like, "Oh, you see how like my rib is not in my body, like, and the other one still is?" I was like, "Oh no, is she okay? Like, this sounds serious." And obviously it was. I don't know why I'm laughing at it, but she obviously wasn't doing well after this. And Jody called out, "She's there's something wrong here." But props to her that she did manage to finish the challenge. It's just obviously, shitty that she was having like a hard time breathing, and of course, ultimately ends up leaving the game for reasons that maybe had to do with this, maybe had to do something else. We'll get into that. Yeah, sucky exit here for Kendall, just to wrap that all up.
Usually I'm pretty hard on the challenge, being like, you're not making sure these are safe enough for the contestants. I think this was probably kind of a freak accident where I don't think this happens, 99 out of 100 times. So really unfortunate to see it happen, especially with Kendall, who I feel like was such a presence last season and ends up getting a really quiet edit this season. I think we were questioning kind of why is that happening? Maybe she's just set up better, but no, ultimately she's just not that impactful because she gets pulled from the game.
I mean, as far as we saw, like it did seem like she was socializing just fine with everybody, which was like the exact opposite of her game the first time around. So, it does seem like she made more friends this time, and potentially was set up better. But not the ending that she was looking for. Tyler and Jasmine went, and then the whole thing here was just about they struggled to get the puzzle done fast enough after. I mean, Jasmine, like, first of all, taking a couple extra seconds for her jump when she climbed down the ladder. She was the first one to take the 15-foot jump instead of the bigger one. So they didn't do the best. Melinda and Nehemiah did fine. Jody and Brad did pretty well. I don't know. Any other highlights here? We had
No.
Tech almost killing Anaya. Ayana.
Jody. Yeah, Jody cranking the box when every other team, it was the guys. Like people were like, oh, Jody's like beating the guys again. It's like, yep, she is. Yeah, she is. So I think like even the cast knows just how like much of like a absolute beast Jody is at this point. I'm curious to see how her and Brad do moving forward. Seems like well. And I did like Ayana being like, I'm picking tech because I like to look at tech. I'm like, oh, okay. I feel like this was a theme that we had on All Stars 1 where a number of the contestants were hornier than we expected. And Ayana is moving that tradition into season 2.
So you love to see it if you're in a draft with potential coitus points. Who knows how that'll all play out. Just on Jody real quick. Yeah, she's just been absolutely like crushing it with these challenges. I won't make the comparison to CT because it's not, I think, anywhere in the same world, but just as far as like person who looks like they're dominating the game and has not, there was a shot, I guess, taken at her a little bit earlier on, but still feels like, this could be a walk to the end for Jody.
Yeah.
Just from.
Challenge all time goat is CT Bananas or Jody is the debate now.
Or Sophia.
It's still turbo, but that's fine.
Okay. Janelle and Darrell went, and apparently they ended up having a really good time, as we're going to find out at the end. MJ and John A seemed happy with each other as partners. TJ is going to ask them after they're all done if they like their partners and explain to them that they are now stuck together. Tyler and Jasmine coming in last, Jody and Brad ultimately coming in first.
Yeah, I feel like it, we had I was expecting another confessional from Brad being like, all right, like, I trust Darrell. I want him to win so I don't have to get blood on my hands. But no, Brad actually has to get his hands dirty this round. So interested to see that at least. But, you know, Jody, that keeps winning over and over and over.
So now the thing is that, like, since they're in pairs, like, the life shields, not saving.
There you go.
are, Nehemiah are going to be, you know, used to save not just one person, but two people. And when you throw in, you know, a person, you have to, you're going to be throwing in a pair, not just, you know, one person at a time. So this worries that John A's alliance a little bit. John A talks about how, you know, there's not many teams left to choose from. So somebody's going to be going in that, you know, we don't really want to have, you know, or at least to be a possibility to go in, that they don't want that to happen to. When we get to see Brad and Jody deciding on names to put up on the board, obviously they're going to burn both Tech and Melinda's life shield. So there's that. Yeah, there's not much that those two can do about it. It's just the way that the game has been going.
Yeah, it was wild that we were in a position where it was literally going to be four people out of what, like, are in the house, 12, 14, like, cast members, and four are voting this week. But the life shields definitely factored big time into that.
And at least, you know, didn't seem as harsh feelings this week as last week with the, you know, burning of those.
Well, they made Melinda burn hers too, so Ayana had to accept it.
Right. So it's going to end up being Letarian and Kendall, John A and MJ up on the board, but John A and MJ are not the targets, and they feel pretty confident that they're not going to end up getting the votes. So, you know, as we already talked about the Kendall of it all. Do we go straight to the selection? Do we go back to Kendall? Where do we go?
I think with the selection, we can talk about basically the only surprise here is Darrell does not vote for Letarian and Kendall. You know, Darrell and Kendall, I believe, were on the first or original season together. I feel like, why not just nominate Darrell and Janelle if you have to, like, work around the votes? I feel like all four of the other people could have voted them in, but sure, whatever, keep them safe.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a lot less votes when you're voting. They were voting in pairs, right? Yeah. So that's.
Well, separately, but just the pairs were voting.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, the only thing here is that Kendall is obviously still not back yet. So they're confused and concerned about what's happening because Kendall had been, you know, had taken a trip over to the hospital after she informs them of, you know, what she's currently going through with the injury. And like you said, her connective tissue disorder that she has and just everything that is currently affecting her. So, that's that there. Jasmine is getting ready to go in. She's, you know, a little bit worried about this, but she, both her and Tyler get moments of just flashbacks to, like, their past challenge moments of, you know, I think those are really welcomed here because if anybody has been watching the All-Star seasons and either has not rewatched the show in a long time or just never saw these seasons, it's nice to, like, just see, oh, this is what this person used to compete, like, or this is just very quick clips of their highlights.
100%. I feel like it's something that they do on the main season of the challenge as well. And I think it's especially necessary for the All-Star seasons. I think there probably is a percentage of the audience who has not seen it at all in terms of the people's old seasons, let alone not watch them in years and years. So I definitely appreciate the flashbacks.
Yep. Yep. I'm sorry if I'm rushing us through this year, but like I said,
you're fine.
Are we at the arena? Anything else?
Yeah, we're at the arena. I feel good. Basically, what you alluded to that I will bring up is we quickly are bringing out the contestants and find out that Kendall has been medically unable to continue the season and thus will not be competing in the elimination tonight.
Right.
Was sent on Twitter shortly before we were recording that actually it looks like it wasn't just season 37 that was shut down for a period due to a COVID issue where a production member may have broken the COVID bubble basically and they had to shut down for a little bit. Kendall was basically taken out during that time, so I don't know if the cast members were just not aware that she had gotten the diagnosis that she would not be able to continue because of the fall or whatever the reason was, but it seems that around this time we had another re-quarantining period.
Which is just like wild. And I am so not like, well, I guess I'm just surprised to hear that because I feel like that wasn't like talked about, I guess, or anything. Like, I feel like that's not something that leaked unless I just was lucky and missed it. But I just can't believe it, I guess.
Same. I'm shocked. I feel like, how did we not hear about it? Like, you hear about, like, the second that, I mean, probably is more newsworthy that yet another challenge contestant is pregnant when they're competing. Like, you hear about that the second, but I heard nothing of this second lockdown. So I was surprised that we had not heard about it. But to bring us back to the elimination, we do find out that this means Jasmine is off the hook and will be continuing on to next week.
Yes, which she's very excited about because just anytime that you can just get right back on up there, that's what you want to do. So does she have a life shield going into next week?
So the thing is, I'm a little curious about the life shield in general. I don't even know if we got announced that it is continuing at all. If it is just like your team gets one, so your team can't get thrown in. I don't remember that it was specified, to be frank.
Okay.
But I'm curious to see. I would assume that it would just be Jasmine and Letarian get like one life shield.
That would make
As
sense.
if they do at all, I would hope that they do because I don't want to see the same teams getting thrown in over and over.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense that they would have one for their team. So we'll see about that. But yeah, the elimination is going to end up being Tyler versus Letarian, and both of the guys are really ready for this. We're going to see, Tyler. With that whole flashback, he's talking about how he's taken out plenty of big hitters in the past, and this elimination is going to be is it called anything, or is it just a classic
Just
pole wrestle?
it's just Paul Russell.
Just a pole wrestle. So yeah, it gets pretty intense as Letarian is going to end up beating Tyler, sending him home here. But the matchup was, I would say, relatively fairly matched, and I mean, it's not like the most fairly matched, but I feel
Sure.
like I didn't think as soon as it started or even while watching it that I was like, oh, this is a runaway. I just,
I
until
think,
B
yeah.
Tyler gets body slammed like 10 times into the ground.
I think I expected it to be more fair, and that's what like colors my vision of like, oh, this wasn't that bad of a matchup. But in like, especially watching it back, I think Letarian was really smart about like if Tyler had too good of a grip, he just dragged him out of bounds, so they had to reset. It seemed like if you watch, those like squishy toys that you squeeze and like the eyes pop out.
Of course.
A few Tyler kind of looked like that a couple different points. Eyes looked like they are bulging. Letarian broke out the same, pulled the plunger that he did on Ace last season with Tyler. I just feel like this was not that close.
Yeah, fair enough. Like I said, I was not like, I was just not thinking it was a complete blowout,
No.
or wasn't expecting complete blowout, but at the end of the day, also like edit wise, I was kind of like feeling like Letarian would stick around. I was like, he obviously has more of a story going on right now than and Tyler at the beginning of the episode gets his kind of like, hey, I'm Tyler and this is my goodbye episode, kind of. So and then when Letarian does get the win, he's given that last confessional, very passionate, making sure that the camera operator knows not to come for him because he's not gonna, let you get away with it.
Yeah.
And then here's a goat. Okay, cool.
I feel like Letarian is legitimately the last person I would want to go against in an elimination. Like, I do not need the plunger treatment.
Yeah, no, that did not look fun for Tyler, who walks away in like a sling.
Yeah. He like legitimately his hand is taped up. He's like, "This is fine." I'm like, "Tyler, can you just like I know that he was setting himself up in the middle. Like at least it seemed like it. It didn't seem super active in terms of what we were seeing on the show, and that can often be a good move. But I'm hoping if Tyler does come back at some point that he is more actively involved in the gameplay.
Yeah, I feel like, if he comes back, okay, cool. If not, also okay, cool. I feel like, we didn't see a whole lot that, like, it's not, again, nice to see all of these people back for the most part, just to check back in with them after all these years and be like, oh yeah, remember me from 100 years ago? This is what I've been up to, and this is how I can compete today. And if there's people that, if they have good enough story or if they show enough promise, sure, bring them back for the next season. But like, I mean, as far as Tyler goes, I was like, my current feeling is like there wasn't a whole lot there where I was like, I need to see what he has besides this. So I'm like,
Yeah,
that's just
it's
not.
fair, it's totally valid. I feel like if we're gonna talk about like representation and like LGBTQ representation on the seasons moving forward, I feel like Tyler still is one of the more competitive queer cast members on the men's side, so I think that I'm expecting to see him back. If he's not on three, I forget, to be honest.
He was having, I have no idea. I don't remember at all. He was having fun throughout the beginning part of the season. Like every time we had like a party scene, he was like out in drag, like, you know, living it up out there in the challenge house. So you can tell that he was having fun. And he said that, you know, great experience. Everybody here truly has touched him, but not like that. I was like, okay, cool. Nobody thought it was like that.
Yeah. Like, all right, Tyler.
So
calm down.
Tyler is gone. Unfortunately, Kendall is also gone, due to different reasons. And yeah, we're, as Jasmine says, getting closer to the final, which is a wild theory or concept. Yeah.
Every time they talk about it, I'm surprised. I get that we're six episodes in, but this just started.
I know. I was like, this, yeah. Literally, like, I think the draft ended 20 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. I guess, do you have anything else before the end?
No, I don't.
No? My only question was going to be, we said we would talk a little bit about the teams. Besides, is it just for you? Is it Brad and Jody and the season's over, or do you see someone that you're looking at as pretty competitive?
I mean, it's definitely Brad and Jody, but looking elsewhere around the board, Kendall and Letarian would have been a strong duo.
Yeah, very.
I think it's Brad and Jody, and then Darrell and Janelle for me. I still feel, even though Janelle's been quiet, I feel like that's still like, as far as like on paper, like a strong pairing, I feel like I'm looking at them next.
Yeah, I think that they kind of feel like everyone knows and loves Darrell enough that you don't need to give him that much content, let alone his partner that much content in order to have you rooting for them on the season. So I do think that Darrell and Janelle are in it just from like a competitive standpoint, but also an edit standpoint. I think they're fine. And I do think Nehemiah and Melinda are not out of this.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Nehemiah and Melinda, MJ and John A, people that like have like chemistry on their team that like can, you know, work well together because they are aligned together and like each other. I feel like that, you know, speaks well for your chances. So
agreed. And I am excited to see what happens between Tech and Ayana, no matter what that is,
for sure. But yeah, no, that's all that I have for these two episodes here. Plenty more to come for both, because the challenge never ends.
It never ends. But like you said, we are approaching the final rapidly, even though it feels like we're probably halfway through the season. Yeah. So we got a little bit of time left on All Stars. We'll be back to discuss this as well as the Challenge 37 reunion episodes.
Exactly. So have you got anything to plug this week? Anything else going on?
So I believe coming out this week, this upcoming week, I guested on the BoJack Horsepod podcast talking about BoJack Horseman. Actually watched for the first time the holiday special, and got to talk about that. Went on a lot of tangents, and just joking around. So that was a lot of fun. I don't think you have to have seen the episode in order to listen, so people should check that out. And then anything else I'm doing will be on Twitter at Brian_Scally.
Alrighty. Not a whole lot in my world at the moment as far as podcast appearances go. So just follow on Twitter at Matt Liguori. I could get into a little Survivor, but maybe not. I don't know if anyone has seen that. I was just going to say, you know, only thing that I'm really doing over there is live tweeting or just happy tweeting about Survivor. So after, you know, the finale. So I'll leave.
Hey, you're
that.
Shadily liking tweets also.
And shadily liking tweets. Do we want to like pause for a second, quick Survivor discussion?
If you want to. Well, depends on your headache.
Not my headache is still there, but like knowing we're at the end, it kind of like alleviates it for a second. I'm just so tired.
Because you have time to stand.
You know, like
what you're
saying. The first thing that I did today, like when I woke up earlier than I usually do, was like turn on the challenge to watch the All-Star episode. So yeah. I guess I could theoretically circle back to just blame this here. Okay, so if anybody wants to cut out, if you're not interested in quick Survivor discussion, we'll see you next time. But okay, giving Collins, can I just like cut in here, Collins, usual, you know, waiting like the Mole podcast, do you listen to this? Maybe I don't have to expose you either way. Okay. Welcome to the Survivor portion. I'm so curious about like what the whole thing was, but like it's definitely Deshaun.
Yeah, for me.
Yeah, I guess.
For me, I think Colin talked about it a lot. Where if it was anyone
you tricked
on
Colin.
What
you tricked Colin,
I did a little bit. Well, I didn't talk to him about the edit the entire season. For me, it very much was like, if it's anyone on green, it's Shan. If it's anyone on yellow, it's Evie. If it's anyone on blue, it was Deshaun. There were so many points where they just went out of their way to show Deshaun that they chose to hide Erica that I didn't understand. They made Erica look actively negative during the preseason. During the pre-merge, where Deshaun, we got tons of like family moments and discussions around that. So it was me ultimately saying that like Deshaun is getting a ton of negative content post-merge, but I thought that he was honestly playing so messy that it would have been pretty impossible to hide that, and we would have seen that either way whether he had won or not, and that ultimately like he was just gonna have one of those finales, like if you want to say, I don't know how many seasons everyone has watched of The Thing, but like a Fabio, a couple other people that have just like turned it on in the finale and like things fell their way and they won. I don't think it's impossible had Deshaun fallen against a Heather and a Xander that he pulls it out there. So I thought it was going to fall into place like that. I am ultimately very glad with the outcome, but I did not think that they would edit basically any winner, let alone the first female winner in 8 seasons this poorly.
Yeah, I mean, we could do a whole Survivor podcast if we wanted to, and luckily this network has one of those, so can't wait to hear what Dom and Colin have to say about all of this, but yeah, I mean, just like, if this was like season 38, 39, if this had not been like, you know, me being burned by this like late game standing I do for the person who's probably not going to win, I would have been all in on Erica like 3 weeks ago, but I just, you know, was not ready to do that to myself again, just because, you know, again, the history there of it just always happens to me. So I think, like, you know, I mean, I did pick, like, as far as like our poll, your poll went, I did pick Erica like in the final hour, but like, mm-hmm. I was still kind of with you that it could have been Deshaun. That was like, he's the most likely person, I think, but it was different of like, that's, you know, most likely person probably going to be Deshaun. Whereas when you were saying it, I was like, he's like, it's definitely Deshaun. I was like, oh my God, like, I just don't believe that.
Well, for me, I'm also very stubborn. Which I think, you know, that always factors. And I did mostly when saying, I was like, I picked Deshaun as my winner pick. And then also was thinking it from like, very early, where I was like, if it's not Shan, it's not Evie, that's Deshaun, where Erica was just completely off of the radar for everyone. I don't think that I am off base saying that, where basically no one was on Erica until the merge.
Right.
So I thought it was too little too late. I thought that it was like Fallen Angel going to go out towards the end and or be second place and have like a compelling edit that ultimately just wasn't enough. But very glad with the outcome that we did end up getting.
For sure. I just think, you know, as far as like, if anyone cares, future of like looking at the edit, which I was really trying not to do this season, but it's like, how do you not do that when your brain is trained to look for, you know, it eventually you just have no other option. But I feel like just going forward, it's going to be all about like looking for a story, whether it's like a visible one, whether it's like the most, or I should say the most visible one, or whatever it is, like looking at the overall story of Deshaun's game was like just, you know, a lot of making people angry and a lot of like setting up plans that he had that he was failing on. And sure, there's been winners that have had similar, you know, struggles before, but just the extent of what he had, it just would have been ultimately very surprising, I think, if he walked away victorious after all of it, unless he had like the most killer finale possible. And then Erica, you know, she had the story, even though it was very, very, very under the radar, very quiet, very, you know, not what you would expect from exactly like you said, the first female winner of the game in, you know, 7 seasons. So definitely understand why it was harder to be on the Erica train. It was hard for me to myself, like lock in myself there, even though like that's where I was ultimately feeling in my gut, you know, going into the finale. But overall, you know, very happy. I think we're all very happy with the results that we do have a woman that has won the game again. We know that it can now happen again in US Survivor. And Erica played a fantastic game. So can't wait to hear what Dom and Colin have to say about it.
I will just say, if we ever think it's a balanced edit again, like it's a woman winner. Like that's just what the answer key is. They don't balance men's edits. Like that's where we should have known. So I just like tweeted out the I think Rob as a fact checker did the chart on like the over editing of male winners versus the under editing of female winners. And I think that's, and people of color as well. Not shocked shocking from that perspective when you look at Erica's winning season being I don't even remember if she was technically under-edited or just by comparison to male winners so under-edited.
I mean, look back at like 39 and remind me, did Jack do you remember Jack?
Yes.
Did Jack make the jury?
He technically did, but not the merge.
Okay, so that's why I'm remembering this kind, mm-hmm. kind of confused. But it's not like his vote like meant anything as far as like Tommy winning there. So like just thinking about that, like the fact that like, there was so much highlight on like the Tommy and Jack relationship of it all. if I'm remembering that correctly, I'm like, why did we need all of that? But we like barely got anything about Erica's relationship, you know? So it's just like, yep. you can literally just look at like the most two recent examples of like a new player season of a man winning and a woman winning and just look at the two very different. Like Tommy is like in the top, what, like 15 of those, of total edits or confessionals or whatever mm-hmm. that chart was. And then Erica's down there towards the bottom. So it's really, you know,
well, alarming. And that's why when we get Deshaun and Erica have like a little rivalry going on, but also Deshaun and Danny are really close. Deshaun and Nasir are working together. Deshaun and Sydney are working together. Like everything was circling around him. Whereas I understand there were reasons why we may have not wanted to edit it, like Heather super involved in the final edit of the show. Just without that context, especially, it was hard to understand why Erica was invisible, if not completely negative pre-merge.
For sure. All right. Anything else?
I love talking Survivor, but I think that we should leave some content for Dom and Colin.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, Kirsten will fire up the stream at some point. We can
there we go.
Any final thoughts on there. So, Kirsten, does she listen to this anymore?
Maybe to fall asleep.
Okay. Kirsten, if you're like still half asleep, let us know when you want us to join the stream and we'll talk some Survivor. Otherwise, good night. So that's it for the challenge and some Survivor this week. Again, follow us online on anywhere, at Brian_Scally, at Matt Liguori, and, all good. You're good. Ready to go.
Good to go.
All right. So thank you guys for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week and take care.